Our lesson tonight is out of Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, among others, the evidence of Christ's incarnation in his childhood. The incarnation of Christ as the God come in the flesh of humanity is an astounding mystery. But evidence of this hypostatic union, that's a theological term for it, occurred even in the childhood of our God incarnate Savior. We view Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to 52, among other passages on this subject, for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we're grateful for the privilege that we have of studying your word. And I know these passages of the childhood of Christ, the infancy of Christ, are very familiar to us, especially as we're getting ready to come up to the Christmas season. But the marvel of how God became flesh so that he could take upon himself our sins on the cross is just an amazing thing. And that we marvel at it. We ask that as we get into this passage of Scripture that we would understand it and be able to appreciate our Savior the more and live for him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast you dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they did not understand the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Okay, to understand the biblical account of Jesus' visit to the Jerusalem temple when he was 12 years of age, we must consider the practices that were involved at the time to prepare Hebrew boys for their bar mitzvah, or their coming out of age party, at age 13. In Jesus' day, a Hebrew boy entered into full religious obligations and privileges at age 13 by his coming of age bar mitzvah. For a girl, it was bas mitzvah. For a boy, it's bar mitzvah. For a year or two before that, the boys were brought to the temple to observe the festive rites. Now, during the Sabbaths and the feast days on the terrace of the temple, it was the practice of the members of the various Sanhedrins there publicly to teach and expound, the utmost liberty being given of asking questions, discussing, objecting, and otherwise taking intelligent part in these lectures. During Passover and the days of unleavened bread that followed Passover, these discussions would be carried on between the second and the last day of the Passover week. Now Joseph and Mary, on the other hand, had, as was allowed by the law, returned towards Nazareth on the third day of the Paschal week, while Jesus remained behind. These circumstances also explain how and why his appearance in the midst of the doctors, although very remarkable considering his age, did not at once command universal attention. See, it was common for 13-year-olds, if they were interested, to stay on a couple of days, or 12-year-olds. So what Jesus was doing, he wasn't disobeying his parents. He was just preoccupied with the things of God, and he was getting ready for his bar mitzvah. Thus, for a 12-year-old Jesus, who aligned with the practices of his era, to enter into extensive discussions about the law in preparation for his bar mitzvah the next year so as to remain in the temple for all the days of the teaching of the members of the Sanhedrin, there was not an irresponsible or a sinful act on his part. His interest in the things of God, even at age 12, thoroughly occupied his mind and heart. Now, of course, Jesus would have been perfectly safe staying right there because he was under the tutelage of these doctors. And when they got real late and everything, he could stay in the area. So it wasn't a problem of his safety at all, providing he didn't leave Jerusalem. If you left Jerusalem all alone and started heading up, you would be open to being hit by robbers and whatnot. But staying around the temple like that, they had temple guards and whatnot, so it was perfectly safe for him to be there. But when Joseph and Mary then took Jesus with them to Jerusalem at Passover on his 12th year, Jesus' earthly parents fulfilled their required 2 days at Jerusalem, and they started back to Nazareth the third day, as allowed by law, while Jesus stayed behind for all the Sanhedrin lectures and the days of unleavened bread. Families often traveled long distances in large groups for protection. Often they would have 50 to 60 different people. They would be of friends or acquaintances or people in the family, extended family. And they did this for purposes of protection. So the children would mix within the group so that the parents might not even see them until they stopped at the end of each day's journey. So Joseph and Mary did not discover that Jesus had not been in the group until the first day's travel was ended, because what happened is the families would pair off to themselves, and they'd be themselves and look around, and all of a sudden, Jesus isn't here. Where's Jesus? Well, I thought he was with so-and-so. So wasn't he with the cousins over here? No, he was fine. So anyway, the cousins hadn't seen Jesus, so they figured somewhere Jesus either got lost or Jesus wasn't with them. Well, thus an anxious Joseph and Mary spent the second day returning to Jerusalem, and after spending the night there, because it would take them a day to get back there, they found Jesus in the temple on the third day on the terrace of the temple where the lectures occurred, and he was sitting in the midst of the doctors of the law, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, this is an amazing scene here. Jesus is from Galilee. Galileans spoke with a twang, kind of like someone from Alabama speaking. You can tell they're from the south. They're going to have potluck that's coming up with a southern accent. Bring your southern accent and everything. Well, the Nazarenes, the Galileans, had a twang to it. So he's a kid, and he's from there, and the Galileans were pretty much looked down upon. They didn't have that big of an education. Here's a 12-year-old boy from Galilee, obviously by the twang that he uses in his teeth, in his speech, and he's got the doctors who are the head of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. He's got them in a tailspin because he knows so much more about Scripture than they do, and they don't know how to handle this kid. And the way that you would teach, you would ask questions. And in order to, if you asked a question, then you would answer the question by asking a question. Okay, it's kind of slick way to do it. So Jesus was asking questions too, and that's the way he was teaching. And eventually he was answering, and he would ask questions by answering. And he just had them absolutely confounded. Well, all who heard the 12-year-old Jesus speak of his lowly Nazareth brogue, and remember Matthew 27:71-73, Peter was fingered as being a Galilean because of the way he spoke. Remember the girl there when they were sitting around the fire? They could tell by the way he's speaking, he's from there. Anyway, they were astonishing themselves. The Greek word is existanto, which is an imperfect middle of existemi. They were astonishing themselves. This is the middle voice. They would ask questions and they would be astonished, so they'd ask more, trying to figure out more. And the more questions they asked, the more Jesus astonished them because he had a tremendous grasp of Scripture. And of course, he's God in the flesh, for goodness sakes. He's the author of Scripture. But anyway, his understanding, synesis, which means being able to put things together, and his answers, aprokrisis. Now, the fact that Jesus was giving answers possibly implies that he was actually teaching these doctors at one point, which would be a fascinating thing for Mary and Joseph to witness. Well, seeing Jesus in this setting shocked. The Greek word is ekpleso. They were absolutely shocked, his parents were. And Mary told him that she thought Jesus had mistreated her and Joseph, who had been seeking him with grief. You can just see a mother saying, "Son, what in the world have you done to us? We've been worried sick about you." You can just see the mother doing this. And Jesus responds, and he asks why they'd been seeking him, for they should have known that he had to be about his Father's business. Now, Jesus was aware at age 12 that he was God's son. That's why he referred to him as his father. And that signaled the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 49:1, that God the Father would start instructing his son in the Messiah at infancy. I don't know how many of you know this, but I've got to turn to that passage. It's fascinating. Isaiah chapter, let me get it here, 49:1. Let me get it. This is talking about the Messiah. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people, from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. So apparently the Father was communicating, God the Father was communicating with the Lord Jesus in his infancy. And the Father was directing him. He was learning from his humanity. His deity knew everything, but his humanity, he still had to learn his Aleph, Bet, Gimels, or ABCs, like everybody else. And he had to learn how to speak, and that. And so, but at age 12, his mind was very, very keen, very adept. And, of course, there's no effect of sin here. In fact, they believe it's because of sin that we actually have a much limited use of our brains. They say that we probably use less than 0.1% of our brain power. That's because of laziness, because of sin and whatnot. But Jesus Christ, he's not inhibited by sin, so he can use his brain to a much, much greater degree. But anyway, Jesus was aware that he was God's son, and God the Father had been teaching him from infancy. But Joseph and Mary did not understand Jesus' words about being about his Father's business. But Jesus submitted to them, returning with them to Nazareth. However, Mary carefully kept, the Greek word is diatereo, she carefully kept Jesus' words in her heart. She was stunned by the statement that he made. But his father, he's talking about God. He had to be about his Father's business. And that, and of course, Mary knew all about the birth narratives and how he was going to be the Son of the Most High. And it must have been a fascinating, I'd love to talk to Mary someday when we get to heaven and ask, what in the world was it like raising God incarnate? What kind of a child was this? How did you handle it as a mother? She said, she'll probably say, you got a couple hours to sit down. And she'll tell us. But it was just an astounding thing for her to witness this thing. Well, Jesus went ahead, he submitted to his parents. He knew his parents did not understand. But he was supposed to be subject to his parents, and since he's righteous, he's also God, and he's in the flesh, and he's still 12 years of age, he hasn't had bar mitzvah, he's supposed to obey his parents. So he submits to them. He probably didn't have a lot of the questions answered. There's a lot of more discussion he wanted to carry on. But his parents, there was a priority there, so he subjected himself to them and went back to Nazareth. And when he got back to Nazareth, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Incidentally, the same things are spoken of by Samuel. Remember, Samuel was a little boy, and the Lord spoke to him at the tabernacle. And Samuel grew in stature and wisdom, and all Israel came to know that Samuel was a prophet of the Lord, starting at age 7. Well, Jesus was the same way. He was absolutely outstanding. He grew in favor with man and with God. So the lesson is Christ's righteous conformity to the practices of his era, his great interest in Scripture, his supernatural insight of Scripture in spite of his lowly Nazareth brogue and upbringing that amazed even Israel's top teachers of the law, his awareness of his identity as God's son, and yet his upright submission to his parents at age 12, all demonstrate that he was the righteous God incarnate, even in his human childhood. So may we rejoice to know that even in childhood, in his human childhood, Jesus evidenced that he was God incarnate. You know, much the same type of thing happens with us. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this treasure, the treasure of the truth of God, the gospel of God, in clay pots, the clay pots of our humanity. We have an amazing treasure, the gospel of salvation, that people believe it, they actually are saved, and they are given eternal life by God. But we have it within us. We're just clay pots. We're human beings. That's what we are. And sometimes the clay pots have a little bit of cracks here and there or chips on them, whatever. But nevertheless, when people see this treasure that's within and it comes out, and they see the tremendous contrast between the weakness of our humanity and yet the greatness of the truth that comes out, it gives glory to God. In Jesus' situation, his humanity was there. He spoke with the lowly Galilean brogue. He's only 12 years of age, but he had the doctors who were supposed to be the top scholars of Scripture in the entire nation. He had them in a tailspin at age 12. That's a demonstration of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in human flesh. And that causes us to rejoice that our Savior was God in the flesh. He didn't become God when the Spirit of God came on him at his baptism. Just like the angel said, that day when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was the Lord. He was the Messiah then. In fact, he was the Messiah at his incarnation, which at his conception. But he was God. But we can rejoice that God does pretty much the same thing with us. Of course, we're not God, none of us. But we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And when we rely on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit uses us to minister and to disciple other people, it's to the glory of God because we have a treasure in clay pots. So we can rejoice that our Savior is God, and we can rejoice that God in his grace stoops to use us by his power.